Hey, podcasters, it's Clazzy, Matt and Kimber here from The Big Breakfast.
On today's catch-up, Andrew Brayshaw from The Dockers.
We spoke to the dog whisperer Nat from Dog Dialogue.
And Nazim Hussain previews his comedy festival show here in Perth at the Regal.
Wake up with The Big Breakfast. Clazzy, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6am on Mix 94.5.
Wish you had listened to Mum as well as you listened to A Big Breakfast catch-up? Spoil her with big-name fragrances from Chemist Warehouse.
Our next guest, well, we're a bit blessed this morning because last time we caught up with him on the phone. Actor, comedian, he's the mind behind and the face up front of TV comedy shows. Funny stuff. Legally Brown and Orange is the New Brown. And, of course, he's in town today. And he's got a gig on Saturday night. Basic Idiot is the show Saturday night. Nazim Hussain, good morning, mate.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, guys.
Nazim, you have made it. You've reached the upper echelons of stardom. You were invited to speak at your high school assembly. What words of wisdom did you give to the old high school students?
Oh, man. I just remember telling kids how to go out to lunch on Chapel Street without the teachers seeing you. And then I just immediately saw the principal look at the vice principal and kind of shake his head like, why do we get this guy in again? No, but it was like, I don't know if you guys have ever gone back to your school.
I went back to mine last year.
Oh, really?
And it wasn't until they said, now we've got our inspirational speaker. And I went, I didn't know I had to be inspirational.
But isn't it like, I just remember feeling super intimidated leading up to the thing. Because my school was a nerd school. It was a select entry school. I remember when we went there, when I was there, you know, the people would come up and speak and we'd all just nitpick and, you know, you'd laugh. And I was like, oh man, I've got to speak to these smart ass kids and they're going to get up there and they're going to be judging me and making fun of every little word I mispronounce. Anyway, you get up there and you just look at them and they're just kids. They're just like little
babies.
Kids, in oversized blazers and stuff like that. I was like, you guys, you don't know life. You know nothing.
Yeah.
So, it was a fairly easy crowd. I just remember making jokes that ordinarily wouldn't get many laughs, but it just blew their little kid minds.
Awesome.
So, yeah. Hey,
it was one of the easiest gigs I've ever done.
Did it look really different or the same? Because I went back 30 years after school and spoke to the kids there, and the chairs in the gym were the same chairs when I went there in 1982.
No way.
Still with your graffiti plastic on there.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, I just remember because I was on the SRC back in the day, 2003.
What is that? Is that like
student representative?
Oh,
And I was a treasurer, and it was the year.
You're a prefect.
What are the ones where the kids vote you in?
Yeah.
I had a campaign. I handed out flyers and stuff like that. I said, vote for me because the other guy smells or something like that. I can't remember.
You spent as much money as Clive?
No, well, I remember I used a library photocopier, which is only supposed to be for school use. Ooh. So I embezzled. Actually, yeah. So in my year, the president of the SRC actually stole money. And it was a huge scandal at school. So on the SRC board from way back in 1901, it's got all the names of the presidents. And then 2003...
Gap.
It's just a gap.
No, just
so that was because as a treasurer, I didn't see in my books that he'd stolen money.
He got taken off your ring.
So that was I spoke about that as well.
And if you went to a school like that, you didn't become a doctor or a leader of business. You're essentially a failure.
His show is called Basic Idiot.
In hindsight, maybe that's why I was inspirational. They said, "Look at this guy. If you do not work hard, you will waste your opportunities and become like him. And we'll wheel you out and humiliate you." In hindsight, what the hell did I do?
Basic Idiot at the Regal, what can people expect?
Mate, it's about me being a dad. Just become a dad, guys.
Well, congratulations.
Well done.
Had sex. At least once. Wasn't very good. Effective. Talk about that. You know, just politics, silly stuff, almost dying in Sri Lanka. Just a whole lot of random stories, a mixed bag. People seem to laugh.
Yeah, cool.
Had the Lord Mayor come to my show in Melbourne, as I told you.
Oh, yeah.
Don't know if she liked it, but she was there. Right. So that's somewhat of an endorsement. Then she asked me to perform for her son at his birthday party, so I did that.
You did it?
Yeah. 20 people around a table.
Oh, that's pressure.
It was pressure, and he sat at the head of the table, and I had to stand next to him like a lap dancer and do my jokes to his face as he sat there looking up at me. It was very weird, but, you know, these are the things you do as a comedian. So this show will not be like that.
Right, okay. Well, hopefully more than 20 people at the Regal.
Yeah, hopefully.
So. Plenty of people who'd want a lap dance from you. Don't put yourself down here.
I've been going to the gym.
I'd put a $20 note in your bum bag. Don't worry about that. Hey, just want to know about this public frenemy, Netflix special. Why did a phone number get you into a bit of trouble?
Basically, on my Netflix special, I told a story about a guy who put out a racist ad. He said he wanted at a housemate and he said, blah, blah, blah. At the bottom of the ad, he said, no backpackers, Indians or Muslims. Anyway, I told that story in my Netflix special. At the end, I read out his telephone number. Obviously
right.
a fake one. Uh-huh. Read out a 12-digit number. Australian numbers are only 10 digits long.
Yep.
Netflix legal department said, is that a fake number? I said, yes. So they broadcast, streamed it to 300 million people.
Yep.
2 days later, I had 1,000 messages from people all around the world saying they'd call that number. If you call it, it connects to a real Australian number because after 10 digits, it connects. It doesn't wait for the last two fake digits.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh.
But it connects to a really lovely old woman in Canberra named Leah. And she'd been receiving thousands of calls from people from Brazil, China, everywhere. People just calling up saying, hello, I'm a backpacking Indian Muslim. Do you have a room for rent? And it turns out, yeah, she was like, oh, on your Zemo. I don't know why people keep calling me. Apparently, you've given out my number and said that I've got a room for rent. I don't. People can share my bed. I don't know if you're trying to give me some sort of business. You know, I'm not racist. People are suggesting I'm racist. Aww. You know, she mentioned an Uber driver. I love the project. Like, it was just it was a very weird.
Covered every base.
Yeah, every base. So I got myself in trouble. So now at most shows, I read out an alternative phone number of someone who is racist that lives in Canada.
Yes, good, 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 good.
Well, the number's just 124. That'll work.
Pretty much, yeah. It's Fraser Anning's number.
And he loves getting the calls.
Where's Egg Boy?
Exactly.
Hey, good to see you, man. Tickets still available, we reckon, for Saturday night at the Regal, but not many.
Not many. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm available for lap dances.
or the Lord Mayor. Yeah. LiveNation.com.au. Nazeem Hussain, good to see you, mate.
Thank you very much, guys. Yeah.
The Big Breakfast with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber.
Spoil your loved ones this Mother's Day at Chemist Warehouse with big brand fragrances like Giorgio Armani, C and Izzy Biaki for... women, of course, Chemist Warehouse, great savings this Mother's Day.
And we are talking dog behaviours. And so if you have got a problem with your dog and you want to give us a call, 133353, we've got an expert who might be able to give you a little bit of a helping hand.
We certainly do. My friend Nat from dogdialogue.net. Good morning, Nat.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you. Obviously, you've helped me with Florence.
Yes.
And you've been fantastic, and she loves you more than she loves me. There's no doubt about it. These guidelines that came out yesterday from the government, some interesting ones, some that seem like a bit of a no-brainer. But there was one that we were really interested in.
Oh, which one was that? I can't remember
speed
now.
Bumps or
it was don't drive with your dog over the speed bump stuff. One in particular was the train your dog, but if it's feeling anxious, stop training it that way because you don't want it to be upset.
So take a doggy first aid kit when you go for a run.
Yeah, that one's a little bit odd.
That was interesting, wasn't it?
Mm. And we did see too that the RSPCA were saying they would like to see it go further. They want to see a banning of electronic collars. We know there's lots of people who, as their last resort, they kind of go, I can't stop my dog barking. I've tried a bunch of things. And no one really wants to put one of those collars on their dogs, but they often do to stop them. Is there some suggestions that you can make that would help people who are in that situation, how they can stop their dogs barking?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the first thing they have to realise is it's not going to happen quickly, and there's no point trying to come up with a quick fix. And the council and the neighbours, if you speak to them, are actually quite understanding in regards to that. But electric collars should be absolutely banned. There's absolutely no reason to create pain to cause, you know, to teach a principle or behaviour. Doggies don't learn like that. It's like if they were frightened or why are they barking for starters? If they were frightened or put it in the same sort of situation for people to understand. If a child was frightened and they were screaming, would you cover their mouth with your hand?
Mm. Yeah.
No, you'd figure out why they were afraid and you'd make them feel safe. So depending on why they're barking, it will dictate as to what path you take. But no, electric collars are never the answer.
And does a collar, that little bit of pain that they may be inflicted with, that could affect other areas of their development, couldn't it?
Well, you know, I mean, I never cross fields, and anything to do with physiology is always the vet's field. But it's I always say to people, if you're going to pop one on your dog, pop one on yourself, give yourself a buzz at the same time.
Right, okay.
See how you feel about that. Yep. It's just not necessary. It's an old school method, and there's so many old school methods that are still being practiced out there that just don't work and have been disproved so many times.
Well, so people who go to work, and their dog's barking while they're not there, and neighbours might be saying, hey, your dog's barking.
Yep.
Is there something that you can try, like, to make them less anxious, or is it just keep them busy?
It's more of a complex issue than that. So if a doggy is suffering with separation anxiety, that's a process of you know, it's quite complex and it takes time, like I said, and there's a lot of different measures that are involved in in fixing that situation. But one of the first things you have to do is have an open discussion with your neighbours and explain that this is what's happening and that you are attending to the issue and that you've got a behaviourist involved. And you will find that council is very understanding if you do that. Dogs bark. That's what dogs do. And we all have dogs, but we want to make sure that they're not, for one, my first concern is that they're not stressed.
Yeah.
Are they barking because they're stressed? Then, then let's deal with that. But it is never an easy or a quick fix. And people have to understand that we live in a society where dogs are part of our families and part of our lives, thank goodness. And sometimes there's situations like that that cause problems. So it's a matter of having an open conversation and saying we are, you know, looking at trying to improve the situation, but it's never a quick fix.
So if you're one of the neighbours, have the same sort of patience that you would have for someone who's got a newborn.
Please do.
For example, yeah.
Okay. Nobody ever comes over and says, your baby's crying.
Yeah. Nobody wants their dog to bark.
Mind you, I was tempted to put electric fence around the kids in the toy room. They're very, very young. Yeah. Are you happy to hand out some advice, aren't you now?
Sure.
Okay, let's go straight to the phones. Jeff's in Hammersley. Morning, Jeff.
Morning, how are we all?
Good, thanks, Jeff. How can Nat help you?
Our expert from Dog Dialogue.
Well, we've got a puppy. He's about 6 months old, and he's beautiful, but he's a bit mad. But he his first reaction is to bite. Like when we try to pat him, he wants to bite. He wants to just sort of grab hold of your hand, and sometimes it's a bit hard.
Yes.
So it just sort of like he's been doing it for 3 months now. So he's been doing it for a while, and it's we just don't know how to get him to stop doing it. Like, we don't want to smack him, and if we do raise a hand, he thinks it's a game anyway. So
well, that means he's quite loved and he's never been smacked, which is great. Look, it's normal, all puppies mouth, but he's formed a habit. So what's happened is when he's a little bubby, they show their love through their mouth, so they want to grab what's ever in front of their mouth. Often if you just give them a toy, and it has to be an unfamiliar toy, so not a toy that they've, you know, become familiar with, so they just drop it and think that's boring. So you get a little brand new toy, and when you want cuddles or tickles, you give him his little dummy, so he's got a little tartar in his mouth, and you give him tickles. But he's gotten a habit, so every time someone's gone to touch him, he's mouthed him, and puppies form habits very, very quickly. So it's a matter of, just changing the behaviour and consistently as possible. So if you've got kids or a wife, everybody has to do it, otherwise he learns. You can simply just say nope and remove your hand and then go back in for a tickle. And when he doesn't mouth, you say good boy and you get the tickles. And as soon as he goes to mouth, you just pull your hand gently away and say nope and then go for tickles. But it will be, it'll take a little bit of time because it's repetition and he's forming a habit. But if you go for the new tartar toy, try the toy.
It's all about the tartar toy, Jeff.
Okay, great advice. Well, give us a call, 133353, if Nat from Dog Dialogue can help you with some of your puppy or dog issues.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber.
We're talking dogs and we all love our dogs and we want them to have the best possible life, and that's when we turn to someone like Nat from dogdialogue.net to help us with our beautiful pooches. Claire's in Floreat. G'day, Claire.
Hi.
Hi. What problem have you got with your dog?
So Raffy's, he's 5 months old and he's genuinely very, very good, but he jumps up a lot, which is a problem, so particularly when he gets a bit overexcited.
Sure.
And we just want to try and nip it in the bud while he's little.
Okay, Nat.
Yeah. Yep, no worries. It's one of the most common things that people have an issue with. He's wanting your attention, basically. So when you come in, if you reward the jump with attention, he's just going to continue to do so. So it's very difficult, and I suck at it, but you really, I really do. Ignoring him when he jumps is the most effective way. The bigger the dog, the harder that gets, obviously. But I actually teach it to people just to tuck their hands up towards their chin and just say, nope, but eye contact is everything. If you say nope, but keep looking at him, you're asking him to jump up. So just say, nope, turn your head to the side. But then once he's down, what was his name? Raffy. Good boy, Raffy makes good choices. Give him a tickle. But then the way that you disconnect from the tickle is really important. So you want to disconnect from the tickle and start to walk. Otherwise, if you just bend down and say, good boy, Raffy, he goes boing, comes back up again.
Yeah.
So it's just a little quick, nope, and look away. Then when he's down, good boy. And you will repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat because he's formed a habit. So you've got to undo that.
Great.
Okay.
Thanks,
awesome.
Claire.
Try and work on.
Good on you, Claire. Thank you so much.
John's in Success. John, what's going on with your greyhound?
Hey, guys. All right. So I've got about a 5-year-old greyhound. She's a rescue. She's a lovely dog generally, but once you leave her outside and you got to go to work, she just tears the house apart. Like, there's no fly screen left. Crim Safe isn't really that safe when she's in it. And there's just no way to calm her. And once she's in the house, if you leave the pantry door open, she then starts to, starts going crazy at it and ate a whole loaf of bread the other day.
Aye.
So we weren't too flash about that. But yeah, anything we can do to help with that separation anxiety, we've tried quite a few things, and she's not the only dog. There's another greyhound, and he's just chill. Typical greyhound just sleeps 23 and a half hours a day.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody thinks they're going to be hyper, but they are very lazy. Like I was saying before, it is really complex when they're suffering with separation anxiety, and there's no easy fix. It's a series of different things that you have to do, and, you know, in a situation like that, the best thing to do is absolutely contact a professional so they can come over and assess. Little boy or little girl?
Girl.
What's her name?
Eva.
Eva, so they can assess Eva and see how to help you, because there really is no simple fix or one way or another. It's quite complex. But if she's in a stress state, which sounds like that from what you said.
She paces a lot. And the destruction was worse when we moved, and she had a little less room to pace about, and then that's where it got worse.
Yep. I would definitely be recommending that you give somebody a call and have them come over.
Okay.
Yeah, some problems are just too big to fix on your own, it sounds like. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's very complex, and she really needs some help. So
thanks for your call, John.
Nat from quite proficient at fly screen fixing.
Got to be sure. Nat from Dog Dialogue is with us, and we're going to find out about a 2.5-year-old staffy called Hugo. G'day, Kim.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Kim, what's happening with Hugo?
Well, we've just been gifted Hugo, and he's not toilet trained.
Okay.
And he's 2.5, and we're not sure what to do. We've actually got a doggy door put in, and he goes in and out of it fine, but when he actually wants to go to the toilet, he goes in the house.
Oh, bless his heart. Has he lifted his leg and marked?
Yes.
Uh-oh. Okay, so basically you have to... First thing you have to do is completely eradicate the smell of urine from inside, so he doesn't want to go over.
Yeah, we've got some no-marking spray that we use.
Doesn't work.
Doesn't work.
It never works. Okay. I've never met anybody that's bought it and said that it's worked. You basically a cleaner that's non-ammonia, and also put a little bit of white vinegar in with the cleaner so that you can try to get rid of that smell. And it's basically the same process as you would do with a puppy. But because he's an adult, you have to be able to, you know, first of all, figure out when he really needs to go to the toilet, and so know his cycle, and get him out in the right place every time and say a word that means to go to the toilet. I use do wees and do reward him. You don't have to give him a treat. You say, good boy, bubby, do wees. Every time he does a wee in the right spot, good boy, do wees. Good boy, do wees.
Okay, because as soon as he does it, like we say, here you go, no, outside, and he goes straight out the doggy door.
Yep, you're about 3 seconds too late.
Too late, okay.
You know, you got to get him before the wee, because once he's done it, there's nothing you can do. Don't say anything. Just look at him with those eyes and say, damn, I missed it, because he's really not going to learn. Once he's done wee-wees and he does it there, you've got to get him pre-wee-wee, and you get him pre to the right spot enough and avoid the wrong, and it'll come good.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Okay,
good
bye.
On you,
okay, then.
Good luck,
thanks
Kim.
So much. Thanks.
Good
bye.
Luck. Never on the show has wee-wee been mentioned so many times in 90 seconds. Hey, well done, Matt. Thanks for your expertise today.
You're welcome. Super helpful. It sounds like there's a lot of people who could benefit from getting a behavioralist in to help out, because they're not easy fixes.
No, they're never easy fixes. They're complex little emotional beings, and once people understand why they do what they do, it's really easy to help them in any situation. So yeah,
that's brilliant. No, thanks for your time, Matt. We appreciate it, and for calming this guy over here down, our Matt Dictinsky.
he's
a beautiful puppy, Dad.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. Shut up! The boy is on the radio! He's one of the hottest rising stars in the AFL.
Brayshaw, brilliant goal!
And he's our man inside the Dockers. Let's talk footy with Andrew Brayshaw for Automasters.
Dockers on fire at the moment, second on the AFL ladder. Andy Brayshaw, good to see you, champ.
Good to see you guys too. Thanks for having me again.
Andy, can't wipe the smile off your face this week. Is that because Freo are doing well, or because Game of Thrones has returned?
A bit of both, actually. Great episode, in my opinion, on the weekend, Game of Thrones. But always great to get a win.
Well, I saw you and your brother have recreated a scene. Was it on Instagram?
Yes, it was. I don't want to give too much away to those who haven't seen it.
Well,
but yes, Hamish and myself put an Instagram story up reenacting a very good scene from the episode that's just gone. So I don't want to give too much away, but it's a bit of a laugh. And yeah, it's caught a bit of attention from some people, yeah.
Well, you know, as Andy, as a professional actor, I watched that scene. And I think both of your performance is strong.
Oh, you got notes.
Yeah.
It took probably two or three takes to actually do, because, you know, if you have watched it, there's a little tough sleight of hand, and I stuffed it up a few times, but we got it in the end. So it was pretty funny doing it. And yeah, some people have asked if we're going to start doing it for every episode, but probably not. It was just a one-time thing.
Just be careful with so much attention, mate, because you'll be bigger than the other Hamish and Andy very, very soon.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, they're pretty big. They're doing all right at the moment,
Must
I think.
Be nice having your brother over here.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
He's doing really well. He's in line to hopefully to get picked for the Eagles soon.
Yeah, fingers crossed. He's been playing some really good footy at waffle level. And yeah, it's great to have him here. We catch up for dinner once or twice a week. And yeah. He loves his golf, so we go out and have a hit every now and again as well. But yep. Yeah, hopefully he one day gets a game for the Eagles. Sorry, which would be
scoop it to scoop, get it in the newspapers.
We'll take him,
which would be great. Yeah,
wouldn't be bad at all, would it, mate?
Nah, not at all,
mate. Great win for David Mundy and for the Fremantle, for everyone involved at Freo. But it was a really good win. The Bulldogs were pretty tough on the weekend.
Yeah, it was a huge win. There was a lot of media surrounding Dave's 300, and yeah, there was a lot of hype around the game. And Western Bulldogs were a really good side on the weekend, but I think it was just a really good team effort. We had 22 blokes that just gave their all for Dave and for the club. And
yep.
Yeah, we just went till the end. And to the Western Bulldogs' credit, they never gave up either. But it was a really good game of footy. And I'm sure that everyone watching enjoyed it.
Well, Adelaide on Sunday. Can we throw in a Mundy 301?
Like,
will that help?
301. A few boys have been saying stuff like that to try and keep him up and about, because he played amazing on the weekend.
Yeah,
so if
he?
We can keep that sort of form up from him, we'll be doing very well.
Adelaide in Adelaide, that's a tough gig.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said a few weeks ago, we really have been having a huge focus on our away form. And so I think this week's going to be no different at all. We'll be doubling down on preparation, being really focused going in, flying over there and hopefully getting the 4 points and then coming back. So yeah, there's a few boys that have really stepped up over the last few weeks, Brandon Matera being one of them. So if we
your golf buddy?
Yeah, my golf partner this afternoon. So yeah, he's been doing really well, and if we can keep blokes playing like that, I think we'll be all right.
And if anyone had said to you pre-season, after six rounds, going into round seven, you'd be 4-2 and going into probably the match of the round, it's not a bad start, is it? You would have taken that.
Yeah, I think I'd definitely take it. Even from our two losses, we've shown a lot of really good signs, and yep. I think... Yeah, it just goes to show that the process that we're going through at the moment is showing some really good results. And win or loss on the weekend, I think we're moving forward in the right direction. So it's really good for the club.
Oh, now I just have one quick question. We may be speaking to one of the leaders of the political parties in the next few days or weeks. I know this will be your first election
first
where you
election.
Can vote.
Oh, yeah.
What's the one thing you would ask of our current politicians?
Well... Alex Pearce from the club has been giving me a lot of advice on who I should vote for, what policies I should be looking at. But yep. I think I'm trying to think big picture. So environmentally, I would like our government to look after the environment. So I think that might lean me towards a certain party, but I'm not 100% sure yet.
Okay, no worries. Good answer.
Smart man, Alex Pearce, isn't he? Yeah. He's very clear. He's a good footballer too. We're also talking to Amy Shark. Got any questions for her?
No, I don't.
Good to see you, mate. We'll just go with a bit of Game of Thrones to make you feel at home.
Oh, lovely.
Andy Brayshaw from the Freo Dockers joining us again this morning. Good luck on the weekend, mate.
Thanks very much, guys.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie. The juice.
Oh, you tell.
Let's hear it. Give me the details.
Some kind of sign, will you?
Hey, guys, there's a new idea in Hollywood.
Oh.
No, there's not.
Oh, okay.
There's really not.
Of course
the
not.
New Men in Black trailer has been released, set in London. Men in Black International features Chris Hemsworth as Agent H and Tessa Thompson from Thor Ragnarok and Creed. She is Agent M. Very interesting.
Mm.
They're out to battle a new alien enemy called the Hive.
We are the best kept secret in the universe.
You erased my parents' memories, but you didn't get mine. It took me 20 years to find you. I want M.
We've never faced a threat like the Hive. Trust no one.
We are the men in black. The men and women in black.
Because we've got to include women these days.
Right. Hashtag well done, Hollywood.
Men in Black will be released in cinemas June 15, and producers will be hoping that Chris Hemsworth is bringing the traction that's come from Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, absolutely.
Quokka selfie.
They are making so much money. The prediction for Avengers is that it's going to bring in $900 million worldwide.
Hence, no new ideas in Hollywood.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, when you look at that figure of money, you think, oh, surely it could be better spent on something else.
World hunger.
Yeah, sorry, Avengers fans.
Another holiday for Matt Damon and his mate.
Now, an interview or a documentary that could be worth watching on Channel 7 this week, Fire Fraud. Now, this is a doco all about the failed Fire Festival, which was a music festival that took place, or didn't, in 2017. And it's kind of hard to describe what went on, but the CEO of the Fire Festival, Billy McFarland, ripped off thousands of music fans by botching the management of the festival.
Everybody fully believed that we were going to put on an event that was going to change the landscape and deliver an experience people will talk about for years. There was no hidden secret. There's no hidden agenda. We're all like, whatever it takes, we are all in, and let's go and make this happen.
There were so many promises of it being spectacular, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. Now, the Fire Festival documentary has been on Netflix for a while, and that's a really great watch if you haven't seen it. And now this is a new one that is going to be played on 7 with an exclusive interview from McFarland himself.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And McFarland is currently serving prison time for this, so apparently got the 6 years there. But the doco promises to reveal even more scandal and deceit. So this Sunday night on 7 at 9:30 p.m. if you want to check that out.
Okay.
And guys, the Billboard Awards, 2019 Billboard Awards, they're underway in Las Vegas. Not many awards have been given out yet, but Taylor Swift did open with this. And for now, that's all you get.
Okay.
Well, they've given out the Gospel Award, but I didn't think any of you would be following and would know who it was anyway. So
you're underestimating me. Maybe I'm really interested in the Gospel Award.
He follows it religiously.
Yeah. Maybe.
Sorry.
That's your daily juice.
But before we go, give us some kind of Mr. Kimber.
Peter.
I think I put you on the spot with a pop quiz. Look,
I think it was just because he was in the magazines and, you know, seemed like a tanned kind
and
of.
He was ripped.
He had great abs.
Yeah.
It was all going Peter Andre or E17. They were like,
oh.
How things change.
E17, now you're talking.
Breakfast with the lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt, and Kimber.
I wonder what the temperature is in Denpasar this morning.
I'd say icy.
Icy cold?
Icy.
You've seen the footage of the boys behaving badly in Bali.
Yeah.
On the news last night, they're all naked and drunk and yelling and being sick. And
urinating in public, spewing out the sides of buses.
Yeah, one of the TV news stories doing it, being all serious about it. But at first they were laughing at the vision, which was interesting.
Well, I guess this is the kernel of the problem is that there will be a lot of young men thinking, legends.
Yeah.
Well,
there's a lot of young men that wish that they had been part of the Jackass crew.
Yeah.
You know, that they wanted to make a career out of being fools.
It reminded me of the Jackass thing, especially the guy who was naked jumping into the bush.
Yeah. Mm.
Look, it ain't a hanging offence.
No.
You know, and they're not the first young men to behave like this, but it does sort of, at a time when we're trying to, I don't know, evolve as a species.
It looked like a footy trip, didn't it?
It was something like that, yeah. It does embarrass us, of course.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, you know, you do get a reputation as Australians when you travel, and so people see that and they just go, oh, okay, well, that's how Australians behave. And people remember it.
Yes, they do.
You know, and we all get tarred with the same brush, unfortunately.
Yeah, like you said, it's not an offence necessarily. I mean, maybe some of the things they're doing are, but you also got to remember this is Bali, and sometimes, you know, their laws and their thoughts are slightly different to ours.
Yes.
So you've got to be careful with the Balinese,
anywhere. And I guess that's the sort of, for me, the problem is that it highlights that feeling that you can go to a place and behave in a way that you wouldn't behave at home.
Yeah. True.
Which is not fair, obviously.
Yeah, all rules are off Party
Central. Yeah, yeah.
The biggest concern for me is that they're the type of people that I think would behave like that at home.
Right.
And so I look at this thing and I'm going, yeah, it's careless and it's intimidating behaviour, but guys who encourage that behaviour in particular, and I'm not saying all men are these people, I'm just saying that guys, these boys that are behaving this way, they're the kind of guys that it reiterates to me that when they're back in Australia and one of them does something inappropriate, or one of them does something inappropriate to a woman, or one of that the other dudes are not going to be the dude that goes, hey, mate,
you shouldn't
that behaviour is not acceptable.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of guys who support each other's behaviour and think it's okay. And that mean to me, that's a bigger problem.
And is the problem now that it's been filmed and so it gets more glorified?
Well, yes. And it was actually filmed by the Balinese tour guide.
Oh, right.
And posted on his social media platform.
Right. Yeah.
So he obviously wasn't saying to them, hey, guys, you shouldn't behave like this.
Here are some Aussies reacting in Bali.
The behaviour's terrible, disgusting.
Yeah, boys!
I wouldn't like to see that sort of behaviour back home, so I don't like seeing that sort of behaviour in Bali.
He wasn't too happy with it.
I think it's a lesson to us all. If you're going to Bali, enjoy the wonderful culture. Get your phallic-shaped ashtray and come home and have with great memories.
Keep your dacks on.
Keep your dacks on.
If you can.
Boys, come on.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for brekkie.
Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist. She's a really good news reader, but here's what Jen King missed.
Whoa, this is a story and a half.
Is it?
I mean, who doesn't like a story about aliens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, according to an Oxford University professor, the aliens are already amongst
us. We better get back because it'll be dark soon and they mostly come at night. Mostly.
Yes, Dr. Young Hai Chi. Is an instructor in Korean at the Oxford University's Oriental Institute, and he claims that sort of alien hybrids are already amongst us.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He's claimed this for a few years now, but he's made now written a book about it, and he says that there's a strong correlation between climate change and alien abductions.
Okay. Right.
And that these beings are here, and they may actually be helping us.
Oh.
As we sort of destroy our own planet,
They're
kind of going to help us solve it. And he says that there are four types of aliens amongst us.
Yeah, I need to know how to recognize
them.
Small,
tall, bold, and scaly with snake eyes and insect-like.
Ooh, so that's your cliched one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit, but those sort of all remind me of Kimber's partners.
Goes down well.
I was thinking that's what we're all paying for when we're getting our faces injected and what we're all trying to look like.
Yes.
That's that snake scaly look that we're going for.
I wonder if the tall ones are like avatars or something.
Yeah, I mean...
Like really tall.
I mean, apart from the sort of snaky, scaly ones, small, tall and bold.
Yeah.
I mean...
Sounds like a footy club.
It does...
Who's in the squad?
Or a new boy band.
Call me a cynic, but I want more. I mean, what's he basing this on? He's just an instructor in Korean, right?
Yeah.
He's a language teacher.
Yeah, he knows other stuff.
Oh, okay.
Well, he believes that these aliens appear when the planet is facing significant problems.
Oh, okay, they come to assist.
So nuclear war, climate change, and it's not that they're particularly fond of us, but like parasites, I mean, and if there are any alien hybrids listening, I mean that in the nicest possible way.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
Is that they also need the Earth to survive, so they want to help us.
Right.
Don't look at me like that. I'm not Dr. Young Hai Chi. I'm just giving you the facts.
No, so, I'm just starting to realise why Jen might have missed the story.
Oh, it sounds like a good story. I like it.
Are you poking small, tall, bold, snake-like holes in this?
We might have some long-term listeners first time in our atmosphere. You never know. It's quite a possibility.
Well,
don't you think they're adding to the problem every time their rockets take off? Are they coming in spaceships? That'd add to global warming.
Look, I don't know. Okay. I don't know, buddy. Mm. But look, if there are any hybrid aliens listening, make sure you keep listening to Mix 94.4.
Well, welcome to the show. You're having a good time. It's Blue Light Thursday.
The chances of anything coming from Mars are a million to one.
Kimber's still a cynic.
No, don't say that. Now they're listening. Now that you've got them to tune in, I have to watch what I say.
You're being abducted.
I should just say that Dr. Chi says he is still looking for more evidence to support his view.
Of course he is. You want a big one, a little one, or a bold one, Kimber? Get your choice.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Zee, Matt and Kimber.
Morning. You know how hard it is to get ready, right?
Yeah.
In the dark, you know, so you don't wake up your partner?
Yes.
So I go down the other end of the house and I'm getting ready and I've got this and I'm putting on, you know, doing the usual stuff. I had a bit of a shave and that, and I put on some deodorant. I must have got some just in the corner of my finger, and then I've got an itchy eye. So idiot here at 21 past four scratches his eye and puts some deodorant into the corner of the eye and realizes if that shape can have a corner and realizes that it felt like I'd been stung by a bee.
Oh, really?
It kind of looks it like it's red and it's
walking around bumping into things. Just my right eye. It's starting to recover. So then I'm doing the old bathe kind of thing, but I'm walking around the house going, like making noises without making noises. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's horrible because I'm a natural whinger when I'm in pain. And when there's no one awake to whinge to, it's awful. I thought about waking Laurie up to just have a complaint.
But it should make us really nervous when you think about it, that you go, you get a little bit of deodorant in your eye and it causes that level of pain, but we're okay with putting it on our skin. You know, like that should make you really nervous, the idea that you go, if it's that poisonous or it feels that bad when it's in your eye, then maybe it shouldn't be something we're putting on our bodies at all.
Sure. Eyes are particularly sensitive organs, though.
Yeah, true.
You shouldn't be splashing old Spice in your eyes.
No.
or any other entry points to the body, for that matter.
That time when Anthony Mundine, did you hear that? The boxer Tony Mundine, Anthony? And he went to a function and his contact lens was a bit dirty.
Oh,
so he took it out.
This story.
So sorry, I'm going to tell it. And he took it out and he gave it a bit of a wash. And the only thing he had on the table was some orange juice.
Right.
It's quite acidic orange juice. And then he cleaned his contact lens and popped it back in his eye and got a really bad eye infection.
I bet.
Not too good, Jock.
Oh, no. And it probably had pulp.
Quite possibly. No one likes pulp.
Pulp itching.
Hey, it's a movie.
Bang, I'm out.
Wish you would listen to Mum as well as you listen to a Big Breakfast catch-up. Spoil her with big-name fragrances from Chemist Warehouse. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber. Weekdays from 6 a.m.